Expedia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances.
610 on New Jersey 101.5. I want to thank Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. So I hope you had a great weekend, an awesome St. Patrick's Day. Dan, the weather, wow, perfect. Windy.
A little windy yesterday,
but beautiful.
Yeah. It was very nice and even warmer than I expected. A couple spots hit 60 degrees. You know, that's a nice day here in March.
It was great. It was, you know, we took a walk after dinner and it was just a perfect. It was still sunny. We had an early St. Patrick's Day dinner. Mm-hmm. The sun was bright. I loved a little sprinkle in the morning coming out of church.
Yep.
But what about this week? It was cold this morning, 44 in the car.
It's going to get colder.
Yeah.
You know, we're only going to see a high of 50 today.
Ooh.
And then tonight, I think a freeze is looking likely for most of the state.
No kidding.
You know, away from the cities, away from the coast. We haven't frozen since March 1st. It's
no
been
kidding.
Almost 3 weeks.
Wow.
So we're really going to see this descent. It's not unusual to freeze this late. It's really not late in the season for that. But it's kind of a shock to the system after those 70s that we enjoyed
last
week.
So bring in the plants if you put anything outside over the past couple of weeks.
Might be a consideration. I mean, hopefully people have a little bit of common sense. It's a little early for that stuff still outside.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything that's sensitive to the cold, there's going to be a couple of frosts and freezes this week. I mean, tomorrow's highs are only in the 40s.
Wow.
So it's going to feel like February for a couple days this week. So plan accordingly.
Precipitation or relatively dry?
A little bit. It's a fairly quiet week. I think we could see a couple of snow or rain showers on Wednesday. The next big storm system comes at the end of the week. Coastal storm. Couple solutions still out there. I favor a bit of rain from Friday night into Saturday morning, and that's it. Not a prolonged thing, just a bit of inclement weather and maybe some coastal flooding to watch out for.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Yep.
Eric, how was St. Patrick's Day? Did you do the corned beef?
I did, but I did Saturday. So Sunday was down for repairs day. So I had a great event Friday.
Brought to you by local Irish whiskey.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. I had a great event Friday. Had friends over Saturday for corned beef and cabbage. And then I took your inspiration and I did the corned beef hash for breakfast.
I love that.
Sunday morning. It was delicious. Yeah. And then it was a very low key. We went down to the Columbus Sale, got a pizza. That's what we had for dinner last night.
Yeah.
And it was just a quiet day around.
We so we did. I took the Pat Colligan, our good friend and outgoing president of the New Jersey State PBA, retiring May 1st. Big deal. But he'll have more time to cook now. That's what I think. He inspired the corned beef. He had that recipe. I didn't do the oranges. But I did the fat side down. I covered the top meat with the packet of seasoning that comes with the corned beef.
Yep.
And I filled it with Murphy's Stout just up to the top of the meat. I didn't cover it because I didn't want to displace the spices.
Right.
Low and slow in the slow cooker. I know you hate the slow cooker, but I did it 8 hours. It was like it was pulled corned beef.
Wow. That's
delicious. It was delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, I
simple.
Do
and
not.
Jody did all the vegetable side. We did. I told you she fried the cabbage.
Yep.
In bacon fat.
I love fried cabbage. Cabbage is one of my favorite vegetables.
Jody loves it too.
Yeah, I don't eat it often.
No.
But it's I do love it.
So now I've got the leftovers. I think it could be Reuben leftovers.
I do not have. I always make a ton of corned beef because I'm going to have leftovers. I have like a quarter of one brisket left.
That's it.
And I, fortunately, Sandra doesn't love it.
Yeah.
So I will get to eat it all. And
I
will go home and I will have just a hot corned beef sandwich.
Will you do more hash?
You know, I might. I still, so what I did is I had some of the boiled potatoes left over.
Oh,
so I used the boiled potatoes in the hash and I just fried it in a little butter.
So good.
With some salt, pepper, and onion powder. It was
perfect, right?
I did a couple of poached eggs, put that over the top of it, and that was for the day after St. Patrick's Day. That was the perfect meal.
I'm hungry. Now I'm hungry. Real quick on a developing story.
Yeah.
I just want to get your take. Matt Platkin, who I am no fan of, he really stuck it in the governor's eye. with a statement the other day, a lengthy legal statement about why he supports the lawsuit dropping what he referred to as the unconstitutional line. If you could just explain, Eric, so everyone understands, what is the line and how does this ruling potentially, which could come out as early as today, how could it affect politics in the Garden State?
Well, I mean, it basically is going to remove the power that county chairmen have to handpick and select their favorite candidates. In New Jersey, if you have the party line, that means you appear at the top of that ballot. And
as the regular Republican.
As the regular Republican.
Or candidate. Regular Democrat. Correct. In the party. So it's almost like thumb on the scale for certain candidates. Yep.
And, you know, so what does that mean?
Only state in the country, by the way.
The only state in the country that does this.
Yep.
And if you don't think it's valuable, Rutgers did an analysis of House and Senate primary contests between 2002 and 2022. The difference between getting the line, the top of the ballot, and not was anywhere between 13 and 79 percentage points in the vote tally.
Wow.
And in 45 of those contests, only one candidate who was not the top line candidate
won. Wow. One.
So when you think about it, this is the very essence of the party chairman's power, ability to raise money, and ability to control issues and candidates. If this goes away, and it looks like it might, it changes the entire dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody would appear on one line.
Yeah.
As a Republican or a Democrat.
All of a sudden, the voters will have a greater say in who, and it's going to come down to a lot more about who's campaigning, who's got name ID, who's spending the money reaching out. It becomes a front room activity as opposed to a back room.
That's a great way to put it, because now you have candidates that have to campaign among the voters instead of lobbying party chairmen and committee people in back rooms to try to secure that line.
Imagine that. I'll have my take on what this means for 24 and 25 after traffic and weather next.
Bro.
622 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. New Jersey 101.5 is ready to bring on spring. You can win a free spring getaway at Borgata Hotel and Casino and Spa in Atlantic City. Listen up, 9 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m. Get that secret code word. Enter it on our New Jersey 101.5 app to win your free spring getaway in AC. Three winners every weekday. Thanks to our sponsor, Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Spring getaway that you deserve. Book your stay at theborgata.com. Bring on spring. Win your free spring getaway from New Jersey 101.5. So you'll hear about this over the course of the next few days, and you'll hear about it in the news. And I think you need to know that one of the reasons why New Jersey has lagged behind so many other states when it comes to our politics changing, one of the reasons why Virginia was able to elect a new governor in New Jersey failed, other than the weak campaign run by the last Republican nominee, the guy that favors licenses for illegals. I wonder if Jack Cittarelli would give a license to the Hezbollah guy that you saw the front page of the New York Post over the weekend. Guy claims he is from Hezbollah and is in this country to make a bomb, and he was let go at the border. So that's the kind of guy that could slip through the cracks and get a driver's license if Jack Cittarelli were in charge. So obviously not good. But one of the problems is that you've had the political operations in the back room with their thumbs on the scale. So this whole concept of a line is very antiquated and very unique to New Jersey. We're the only state that does this. And it looks like the courts may rule in favor of throwing it out. Now, I'll be honest, personally, I could go either way. We have some great relationships with county chairs across this state, 7, 8, 9 of them, very agreeable and working directly with us on our common sense cause. So I go either way on this, but I'll tell you who this helps and who it hurts. It helps voters if it goes away, because you'll have a much greater say in the primary. So listen up if you are an independent voter. If you right now are unaffiliated with either party, you want to pay close attention to this story about the courts potentially taking away the county line. If it happens, you as an unaffiliated voter, could declare on Election Day and support candidates in the primary and change the outcome, literally ripping the political process out of the back room and giving it to the voters in the front room. This is something that has not happened in a very long time, and it is part of the potential positive that could see our state really turn around over the course of the next few election cycles. So, look, guys, it's no secret that things are changing and that there is an aggressive move over the course of the next two cycles to really turn the state around, because we can't afford to go backward. And there's no way for us to know what's going to happen in the presidential election. So we have to think ahead and say, how do we protect our state and do something completely different than what has been going on for the past 30 years? Because, you know, as they say, the definition of insanity, keep doing the same thing and expect different results. We got to do something different. We need better candidates, stronger leaders, and we need to empower voters. So I implore you, don't give up. Your time is coming as a voter, especially if you are an unaffiliated voter right now. The Democrat Party, in my opinion, is completely lost, but there's an opportunity for you to get involved in Republican primaries. Happens every June. You will be able to make a decision in the front room, in the open, full transparency. Your vote is going to count a lot more. And this is the kind of thing that empowers average people. So stay tuned. More to come on that. All right. Over the weekend, it was St. Patrick's Day. Guys, we made the best corned beef that I've ever had. And Jody made this fried cabbage in bacon fat. How was your St. Patrick's Day? What did you do? And what was the best thing you ate? 1-800-283-101.5, 627. Eric Scott with your news in just 3 minutes. 638 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. So, Eric, in your opinion, I mean, looking at this stuff over the past, my God, 3 decades, right? We're both getting older. Yeah. Man, it's going fast.
Yeah.
I've been here 9 years now.
Wow.
Right? I know. It went super fast.
Yeah, time flies, man.
It really does. Great. I started in, so really this would be, we're heading into the ninth year. So I started in September 2014.
Yikes. And,
I know, right? when did you start?
October of 91.
Jeez. Yeah, a lot has happened, right? I mean, so you think about it, how many governors you've seen, how many senators, how many races. What does this mean in terms, and who do you think it affects the most? We have a U.S. Senate race coming up in 2024. Republicans haven't elected a U.S. senator in, what, 50 years now? 50 plus years?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that really is going to impact the general election, right?
The line discussion.
Yeah, the line discussion.
The Andy Kim lawsuit you were reporting on.
I think it affects, it's going to affect almost every primary election, because you're not going to have the preferential treatment. You know, typically you have these party chairmen that can force their non-endorsed candidates so far down the ballot that it doesn't even look like they're in the same election. Now everybody would have to be in block form, grouped together as Republican or Democrat in the primary. And, you know, what it does is it opens up the possibility of having other candidates, having other individuals run that are not as maybe politically savvy or as politically connected to the Republican and Democratic machines. But you have right now this big push, if you want to run for statewide office, or even if you want to run for, you know, a county office or a local race, you have to kiss the ring of the party chairman. And you have to be willing to, you know, bring something to the table or convince them or promise them something in order to get that coveted line.
Many of them ask for checks. A tried and true Jersey practice. How much are you bringing to the table before we'll give you the line?
Yeah, exactly. And that discourages a lot of people from running. People that would be quality candidates that really that want to run for the right reasons. And it makes them no longer beholden to that political machine. I mean, look, the county chairman and the state committees are still going to have a certain amount of power, in terms of fundraising and promotion and get out the vote and those types of things. But it forces candidates now to focus more on those primary voters and to actually campaign in districts and precincts because they're counted, and it levels that playing field, right? So if you have a lesser known candidate that out hustles an establishment, quote unquote, candidate and really goes and gets votes in a primary, they're every bit as a legitimate candidate with a potential for victory as somebody who in the past would have had that party line.
It's interesting, too, because Tammy Murphy, with her name ID, could have been that candidate. But instead, she held the line as the establishment that my husband's going to put me in here, and basically went to the county organizations instead of going directly to the people, which it seems like Andy Kim dove right in. I mean, event after event after event, the dude is hustling. I mean, and he's got that reputation in the House. I don't support his positions, but the guy's a worker.
There is no doubt that he is hustling and campaigning. Look, he won Atlantic City yesterday.
Yeah.
Or Atlantic County. You know, I mean, Tammy Murphy is going to win in that Phil Murphy, North Jersey, Bergen, Hudson, Essex, Passaic base, right? That is where she is strong. And as long as she has those counties behind her, she will still be considered the front runner. But she's run a horrible campaign.
Horrible.
And, you know, it's because they're, and I think some chairmen have pushed back because they think there's a sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
You know, because she carries the Murphy name. And to have a sitting attorney general come out and say, I believe that this system is unconstitutional, I will not defend it. And then to have his boss, the governor, publicly rebuke him for that. That's what caught everybody off guard last night. Is that
Murphy's pissed.
Murphy, through his spokesperson, was like, it is his obligation to defend this regardless of his personal feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's there portends to be a little bit of a rift between Plotkin and the AG and Murphy as governor. And, you know, keep in mind, Plotkin's been part of Murphy's inner circle for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, even before he was elected, he was the governor's counsel, which is, you know, the top legal mind in that office advising on, you know, every policy and decision and, you know, that comes out of the governor's office. And then was appointed AG in 2022. But it's a, I mean, that was a pretty bold statement. And it was not received well by the governor because this does hurt Tammy Murphy. It absolutely hurts Tammy Murphy in a primary.
Yeah, no doubt. And it will have an impact certainly on the primaries coming up in 2025. You're going to have an open, I mean, it's an open seat for governor. So you'll have a scramble on the Republican side, scramble on the Democratic side. It will lend to a more grassroots-oriented actual campaigner. And I think the one guy, that the former nominee, certainly on the edge of his seat, hoping that this ruling preserves the county line. That, no doubt about that.
Well, but that's, you know, you've boiled it down, you know, perfectly, is that it actually is going to force candidates to campaign among voters.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen in primaries right now.
No, it doesn't happen at all. That's why your turnout is sometimes less than 15%, sometimes less than 10%. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's,
you and I have had bets over under on this, and I can't seem to win that bet. I so desperately want the over, and almost every time we set it, I lose.
But but you have to look at that Rutgers study. I mean, when you take a look at that and what it really means in percentage of votes, I mean, it could be as high as 80% the endorsed candidate, you know, versus somebody who's off the line.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, more to come. I do want to get your thoughts on how was this weekend for you? If you are involved in politics anyway, if you work on a campaign, if you're around, are you paying attention to this? Did you see what happened over the weekend? I'll take your calls on that. Plus, I am going to post this new twist on Irish bread that Jody made over the weekend and corned beef. Producer Kristen has the draft now, and we're working on that. We've got a couple of pictures to share with you. I'd love to share your picks of what you had over the weekend to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So you can hit us up at the free New Jersey 101.5 app. All right, more to come. 1-800-283-101.5. Question for you. What did you do this weekend? And what was the best thing you ate? 1-800-283-101.5, 646. Fast traffic, instant weather, next row. New Jersey 101.5 and Pet Center Old Bridge NJ are looking for the Garden State's cutest pet. Send us your pick of your furry best friend. Grand prize winner gets $500 gift card to the Pet Center in Old Bridge. Thanks to our sponsor, Pet Center, located in the shops at Old Bridge on Route 9. Got Jersey's cutest pet? Send your pick on our free app or at NJ1015.com. So also on the free app, I want you to send your picks of what you made over the weekend, because we're going to share your corned beef recipes, your corned beef leftovers. I'm going straight up frying. I'm going to fry the corned beef today. The leftover corned beef will get fried in a little butter. And I'm going to add to that the already fried cabbage. So it'll be refried cabbage. And then I'm going to put on top of it some slices of Swiss cheese and then a little bit of water in the pan and cover it. And that steam will help melt the cheese and heat it through. It's going to be perfect. I may go with some bread. We'll see. I'm not sure. But that will be the repurposed dinner tonight. So what's your go-to? On the other side, I just want to get some pictures because we're going to share those pics with the audience on our website, NJ1015.com. So hit us up on that free app. Now, I was talking with producer Kristen this morning, and the news, you probably heard Eric Scott talk about this news about this guy that spent 10 years in prison. 10 years arrested in 2014, he's been in prison ever since after a body was found in a New Brunswick backyard. So think about this for a minute. This guy was committed. Now he's been exonerated and released. What would it take to cover for 10 years of you losing life? What amount would you think is appropriate for that guy? I mean, how do you get 10 years of your life back? Now, if you did the crime and did the time, that's a completely different thing. But this happens more than you think. Have you ever been accused of doing something and people convicted you, at least in their minds, and you didn't do it? Whether it was something simple at work or something as egregious as this. I mean, this dude served 10 years. I mean, that includes the 3 years that he was locked up while he was waiting for his trial. Imagine being accused of murder and then convicted, only to have your case thrown out. What number would you put on that? If they said, look, sorry, here's $10 million. Would that be enough? Sorry, here's $1 million and a car. I mean, what's the apology that would be appropriate to undo losing 10 years of your life? 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. Question for you is, what number would you put on this? And two, has this happened to you? Have you been accused of doing something that you simply did not do, but you could not catch a break? 1-800-283-101.5. 6:55 is the time. The weather. You know what we'll do? How about we do news in 4 minutes with Eric Scott? 7:10 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. So, guy gets put away for a murder he didn't commit. Eric, this guy, Timothy Puskas.
Yep.
How old is he? Relatively young, right?
40s now, 30s.
Right?
Yeah.
A relatively young guy. So, gets accused of a murder of a 22-year-old Tennessee man whose body was found in New Brunswick. Spends better part of three years in jail waiting for the trial.
Yep.
Then gets convicted, and now here we are, total of 10 years behind bars. He's out. What exonerated him? What was it?
So they had, this was his second trial last week. He was originally arrested in March of 2014. Murder, weapons charges, hindering in his own apprehension, those were the charges he was convicted on. But basically what it was that a lot of the evidence that the prosecutors had relied on came from individuals who were basically trying to save their own skin. Mm. And when it went back to trial, this was all uncovered. And even Puskas told us he was, they wanted to believe all the wrong people who ended up changing their stories 100 times. They never recovered a murder weapon.
Which is weird because he was also charged and convicted on weapons charges.
Yes. Yep.
How'd they do that without a weapon?
Well, one was used, so they made the conclusion that he used it.
It's amazing.
It was a very interesting story, but it underscored how often in police investigations, when there is not a lot of hard evidence, that they will find witnesses or pieces that they can use in that case to support their own suppositions.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what happened here.
I read that he was offered an opportunity to be released with time served if he just admitted guilt.
Correct.
And he refused. He said, no, yes. I'll go back to trial. I'm innocent.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
That takes guts. Good for him.
And that was the last-ditch effort of prosecutors to, be able save to face, preserve right? their conviction yeah. and save face.
But how sloppy, Eric. How sloppy on the part of the prosecutors.
You know how I feel about law enforcement. I know how you feel about law enforcement. This was an egregious case.
Is there any repercussions?
We talked to him about whether, there's going to be a civil suit or anything like that. And he'd been behind bars for 10 years. So now he's just trying to acclimate to being back outside. His attorney, Joseph Masrani, hasn't talked about that yet. I would say that at some point there probably will be a civil action that will be taken.
Someone ought to pay for that. I don't know what the dollar amount would be. But you lose 10 years of your life as a young person trying to make a living. I mean, how much money would make up for 10 lost years?
Right.
Wow.
Right.
I'd like to have him on the podcast. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask producer Kristen. We have his number, right?
We have his contact information.
Yeah, I'd like to do, I've got part of our podcast, Common Ground, we do a streaming show, so I can bring him on. I have so many questions about life behind bars for an innocent man. But my question to you right now is, has this ever happened to you? Have you been accused of something for wrongdoing that you didn't do? Have you ever had an interaction with law enforcement that went sideways and you had nothing to do with it? I'll start with you, Sal, on the other side of the traffic and weather. Mayor Mark Taylor, yes, of course, I'll get to you as well. We had a big, big event, speaking of law enforcement, Friday night. What an awesome, awesome evening in Morris County. But all that coming up, my question to you is, have you ever been wrongly accused of something, ever served time, and you didn't do it? I know everybody in prison is innocent, right? Sometimes they really are. 1-800-283-101.5, 715, fast traffic, instant weather. 722 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. Spent 10 years behind bars for a murder he did not commit. Has this ever happened to you? I know it's a wild question to ask. Or do you know anybody? Let's start with Melvin in Roselle. Good morning, Melvin.
Yeah, how you doing, Bill?
Good. So this happened to your brother.
Right. Yeah.
Tell me.
Long story short, because it's so complicated. It's not complicated, but just trying to explain it all to you. I think back in 1984, there was a cab driver murder. Some gentleman from Atlantic City committed a crime, killed the cab driver. They picked my brother up. He's on the way coming home, walking from his girlfriend's house. They picked him up. You look like you fit the description of a crime. That's some cab driver murder. Locked him up, tried to beat him up, make him confess everything. And the second week, here it is, another second cab driver murder in Atlantic City. They caught the guy, and they say they seen his connection because of the gun. Caught him. He told them where the gun was, everything, and don't even know my brother from nowhere, and told them that he didn't do the murder. I did. He don't even know me. And they kept my brother 39 years, still trying to get him to commit to something that he didn't do, when they already had the guy. Got the murder weapon. He took him to the murder weapon, everything, and they held my brother 39 years. He just got out February 7th.
Okay. Melvin, your brother served 39 years?
Yep. Basically 42 month child, 40 years. Yep.
How old was he when they picked him up?
I think he was 18, 19. So he did like double his time in jail than he was out here. He was so young, and they still, even as he went to parole board, they still trying to give him the mitt for something that he didn't do. You know, and he's like, I'm not going to admit to something I didn't do. I stay in here.
Wow.
They gave him 30 years of life. So the Innocent Project has his, they have his case right now. They're 90% done because they didn't get it till later on, you know, because they got so many cases.
Yeah,
so
he's been released, though, right? Why? Because he served his time.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So 30.
So if the Innocence Project exonerates him, he's going to sue, I would imagine. But, I mean, my God, he lost 4 decades. Yes, I don't know what to say about that.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Melvin, how was his return? I mean, is he staying with you? Like, what happens when you serve 40 years and you lose all of that life?
Right. It's a tough situation. Well, he's actually with his wife. He got married when he was in jail. He's been married 8 years. He's Muslim. He got married to another Muslim young lady. So they're together, living together.
Okay.
And he's trying to get acclimated back to society. He's about to start working, everything. Had to come out, start everything. He's about to get his driving license, you know. It's like he can't even believe he's out here walking on the street, you know, every day just thinking he's still in jail.
Wow. You know, so, now, were your parents, are your parents still alive?
No, my parents, this is way young, over 25 years ago, my parents both passed away.
So they had no idea what was coming. They knew their son was innocent, though, I bet.
Yeah, they knew he was innocent, but they, you know, didn't know that he was going, because he kept thinking he going to get out, because he going to prove himself innocent, being that the other guy admitted to it, and they still didn't let him out. They still held him year after year.
That is, it's a shocking story. This Innocence Project has done some good work, though.
Right.
Do you think your brother would be up for a conversation?
I will have to talk to him. And, you know, you want me to call you guys back?
Yeah, because, you know, we're doing our podcast, Common Ground, and you know, this, I want to shine a light on things like this because this happens. And, you know, from my perspective, Melvin, as a guy that stands with law enforcement and knows that we've got a big job ahead of us to clean up our streets, we can't afford to send innocent people away. We got to get smarter and tighter on things like that, because, you know, the credibility of saying that we've got to put our faith in law enforcement comes with the responsibility of getting it right.
My point exactly.
Right? So if you don't mind, I'm going to put you on hold. Producer Kristen will just tell you where you could send the information, how we can connect. And if he's not up to it, he's not up to it. That's fine, too. Right. But at the very least, I want to make sure I've got your brother's name so I can follow it on the Innocence Project and see what happens. So even if he doesn't want to talk, and I completely understand if he doesn't, but I'd love to have a conversation with him. So you let me know.
Okay.
Thank you, Melvin.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for sharing that story. All right, hold on 1 second. Okay, let's see. Mark Sal, I will be back. 7:26. Talking about wrongful arrest. Have you ever been arrested for something you didn't do? Have you ever been charged with something you didn't do? Have you ever had to prove your innocence? Man, it's scary to think you could lose that much of your life and not have done the deed. 1-800-283-101.5. 7:27, Eric Scott with the news in 3 minutes. .738 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, talking about wrongful accusations, convictions. Guy spends 10 years behind bars for a murder he did not commit. We just heard from Melvin, who told the story of his brother, who served 39 years. And now looks like the Innocence Project may exonerate him. I mean, I am as pro-law enforcement as you get. You all know that. Long as I have a mic, law enforcement has a voice and will continue. We're going to implement a cost of living adjustment. We're going to empower cops on the rules of engagement. We're going to do a lot of things. But one of the things that we got to get right is our prosecutors have got to have the right guy. The idea that someone would serve 10 years in what looks like a rushed prosecution just to get a conviction and then try to bully a guy into taking the fall for something he didn't do. We need to be better than that. Much better. Let's go to Sal in Point Pleasant. So, Sal, what happened? This happened to you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Bill. How you doing?
Good.
You know who I am.
That's why I was a little surprised, Sal. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. You didn't serve time for something, but what did happen?
No, let me tell you what happened. So, as you know, I'm a general contractor here at the Jersey Shore in Ocean County. Unbeknownst to a bunch of contractors, There was a prosecutor, I'm not going to name his assistant prosecutor, I'm not going to name his name, that also was in competition with us. He had his own construction company. He started coming after us. In any small contract dispute, whatever it was, they actually came after us. So here's the situation. May 24th or May 25th, the weekend, the Friday right before Memorial Day weekend, 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting in my office. I have this all on cameras. I got it videoed and everything. My office gets SWAT teamed.
Wow.
Yes. Ocean County Prosecutor's Office, Point Pleasant Police Department. Come in here. And as I get to the doorway of my office, because I hear all this ruckus, I see him come in. I said, well, hey, you know, if you're looking for Pablo Escobar, you got the wrong place. I thought I was getting swatted, you know. I had no idea. So
what was it?
Customer that I had contract dispute going on with, she did not rescind the contract within the 3-day time period allowed by law. We had done a lot of work between the time we signed the contract to the time that I got arrested, had material delivered to the job, whole nine yards. This is all prior to me getting arrested. She said she wanted to cancel the contract. I said, that's fine. I said, but there's material on job. It's going to cost me 25% restocking fee. And I paid subcontractors, which they're not going to give me their deposit, which is non-refundable. So I'll give you half your deposit back. You keep the materials and you go on your merry way. She insisted, no, she wants all her money back. And I said, well, I have an arbitration clause in my contract. I'm exercising it. And that's exactly what I did. So going
but what did they
process,
charge you? Like, what would the, I don't understand what they, why by, SWAT was coming in.
Theft by taking of, yeah, me neither. It was like, they
I mean,
came in
over the top.
It's way over top. So it was definitely an intimidation ploy on their behalf to intimidate me. So what happens is, you know, now a couple months later, it's May, we're going through the arbitration process. We had just picked out our arbiter. And then we were starting to send all our discovery to the arbiter, and I'm sitting here. I'm in the office at 7 o'clock in the morning. It's the Friday, which would be a short day. It was a good 3-day weekend. And what they came in, they got me, and what they intentionally did is held me in Point Pleasant police lockup until after bail reform left the jail, so I could they'd have to keep me in until Monday. And that's exactly what they did. They kept me in jail until Monday.
That's amazing.
I hired an attorney. He was bad. He started playing ball with them the whole nine yards. My first court appearance, they offered me 5 years for a contract dispute, 5 years. And I couldn't believe it. So I stood my ground. I said, nope. They came at me in some ways and said that with every different plea bargain after a period of time. They actually indicted me on more charges just to try and get me to weaken.
How did it resolve?
Well, I got rid of my first attorney, and I got an amazing attorney out of Lamoral Law Group in Freehold, Mecklenburg. This guy is amazing.
Are you still fighting this?
Well, it just got over. It was 5 years of my life. I lost millions of dollars in income in my business. My business suffered. I've gotten anonymous threats of in writing and in voicemail on my phone. I had a fear for my family. I almost lost everything, my house, my business, literally almost flat broke. This almost killed us financially and just in every way, shape, or form. It took me 4.5 years to finally get it dismissed. I hired, like I said, I hired Mecklenburg and the Lamoro. This guy came in. He was an ex Monmouth County prosecutor, and I presented the whole case to him. I gave them all the documentation. I presented them my side. I presented them the prosecutor's side.
Wow.
And I said, here's the whole case. Can you decide? And he says, Sal, you reviewed it for about 2 weeks and came back to me and said, Sal, I agree with your position.
Wow. So it's gone. They threw it out.
Yeah. And
five years.
Five years of life. Stress,
well, anxiety. Sal, I am sorry to hear that. That is, what do you say, right? These aggressive, egregious prosecutors. You know, you want to afford. I don't understand how this happens with a contract dispute. But look, I've got to jump, Sal. But thanks for sharing the story. Appreciate you. Let's check in with Mayor Mark Taylor in Florham Park. We had a big law enforcement event on Friday. Was it Friday, Mark?
Friday, Bill. How quick the weekend went by.
Right?
It was an awesome event. Can't thank you and Jody, Elizabeth, and George for coming out to this event. You know, sponsored by NJ4 Education and Positive Choices and the greatest sheriff in the country, James Gannon.
Yeah.
We had law enforcement from all over the county. I must spotlight Hanover Township, East Hanover, Florham Park, Madison, Chatham. They were all there. We had hundreds of law enforcement and all of our equipment, all of their equipment that they used to keep us safe right out on the front lawn of Menin Arena in Morristown, New Jersey.
It was awesome. Mark, we had a great time. We had another engagement and I stayed way longer than I thought I was going to. You know, we had like 15 minutes on the calendar and I think I was there for almost an hour. It was so worth it to meet everyone. It was great. You and Ace and Mayor Panula and Mayor Carr. Like, it was just an outstanding group of local mayors and, of course, Sheriff Gannon. What a good guy. What a solid, solid guy he is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All the law enforcement that was there was, giving out little trinkets to kids and, you know, just honoring the service that they do is just amazing. And we had all of, of course, Ace Gallagher. You couldn't do an event without the Hanover Township Mayor, the best in the county, of course. But at the same time, we really, really brought out a lot more people this year. It's a growing event.
Yeah.
As they say, as with all the equipment that was there, you'd think that everything was safe in Morris County, but not always is it.
Well, law enforcement, you have to be vigilant. There's no question. I think maybe next year we'll do a podcast from there. It was such a great event. I'd love to bring in the 101.5 promotions crew for the next one. It's just an outstanding way of celebrating law enforcement. And I think it was Sheriff Gannon who said this, may have been Ace. I think I forget who said it to me, but the line was that, it was the chief who had founded the event. And the purpose was that for most young people, when you first meet law enforcement, it's on your worst day. This was a way of having an interaction with law enforcement on a good day. And I love that.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. So we went on from there. Saturday, we had an Easter egg hunt on our turf field here in Florham Park, sponsored by the Florham Park JCs. Over 200 kids came out. Great weekend. All encompassing. It was a great weekend.
Mark, listen, always good to hear from you. Thank you. You do an outstanding job as mayor. We appreciate you, and we're going to see you soon, hopefully this week. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Now, on the other side of traffic and weather, guys, we're going to check in with Tim Puskas, who is on the line, and the man who served 10 years behind bars for a crime he simply did not commit. Stay tuned for that conversation next. 7:47, traffic and weather next.
Bro.
7:52 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. So we're talking about wrongful conviction. Have you ever been accused of something? Have you heard the story of the SWAT team showing up and 5 years to exonerate? And then there's a story of Tim Puskas, who was jailed for 10 years for a crime he did not commit. He joins me now. Tim, first of all, congratulations on the exoneration.
Hi, thank you so much.
I'm so glad you called. What was it like the day you walked out of jail for the last time?
pretty crazy. Honestly, every day just feels crazy. It doesn't really feel real. The first night, because a lot of people don't know this, but even after, they say not guilty, of everything in court, and, they wait for everyone to leave the courtroom, wait for the jurors to leave the courtroom, and then reshackle me back up to take me back to jail to process me out.
No kidding. You don't get to walk out of the courtroom.
Absolutely not.
Wow.
The funny thing is when they were shuffling me through the back corridor all cuffed up, they heard the jurors in the hallway at one point, and they quickly hit me, like shoved me into a corner real quick so they couldn't see me. I was laughing. I'm like, you're still hiding me from these people?
Wow.
What, you don't want them to know that I'm cuffed up after I'm innocent? This is crazy.
Wow, I didn't know they do that. That seems outrageous.
It is outrageous. I don't understand how it's legal.
No, I don't understand. I don't see how you don't walk out of the courtroom and that's it. Now, how about your family, Tim? What was it like to reunite with your family?
Oh, amazing. My niece, it's honestly hard not.
Yeah.
My niece has been amazing. She had four sons while I was locked up.
Wow.
And, so I've just been meeting them and getting to know all of them now, you know?
Yeah, of course.
It's truly amazing.
So, Tim.
I'm sorry. No.
It's emotional. I'm so impressed you were able to call and join this conversation. I mean, God bless you. I mean, Tim, what was it like when you were first arrested? It had to just blow your mind to think I wasn't there. I had nothing to do with this. Just completely out of the blue?
It really was surprising. And honestly, that's the first, I would say even the first year I spent in jail, I just had a public defender because I figured, well, what's the point? There's no way they can convict me on this anyways. I figured just at any moment they were going to have to drop the charges, you know? That's just not the reality, you know?
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to meet my lawyer, Joe Masrani. He was just very passionate about the case. You know, he had thought, listen, man, I already read your case. I know your case. I got you. I'm going to get you out of here. I hired him. Then that was the best thing I could have ever done, you know?
What kept you going, Tim? What kept you going for 10 years?
I mean, I guess you could say I'm a stubborn honky. I used to just always say they can't beat me, and that's just the bottom line, you know. It's not like I had really, you know, people, I didn't really have much choice. What am I going to do, just lay down?
What was it like being among all the convicted murderers and other bad dudes? I mean, everybody says they're innocent. You actually were.
Well, there are some other innocent ones in there, too, believe me, of course. But it's a little crazy. I stay to myself a lot, let's just say. And, you know, and that's just, a little crazy, let's just say.
Yeah, I can imagine, Tim.
Crazy at times. Mostly boredom intermixed with high-intensity craziness.
What was the first thing you ate when you got out, Tim?
Actually, Joe took me to Chili's. it was really the only thing open because by the time, thank God for Joe Masrani, they were really going to keep me till like 1 in the morning.
That's
Joe
crazy.
Went to the jail. And Joe went to the jail and was like, what are you doing? Let my client out. And it was about 8 o'clock I finally got out.
Wow.
So we went to Chili's. Matter of fact, I don't know. I forget which picture, whatever is up, that's us at Chili's, actually. That first picture that was up in most of the news articles, that's Joe, me and Joe, literally in front of the jail.
Wow.
And then, like I said, he took me to Chili's. I had steak fajitas. It was fantastic. I joke about a lot of food now, saying, like, oh, this is the best thing I ever had, but I don't trust my taste buds anymore.
Yeah. Tim, it's an amazing story. I know this story is not over, and there could be something down the road for you. So keep us posted. I would like to have a longer conversation with you on our podcast. So I'm going to put you on hold and get in touch. And I just, God bless you. We're praying for you, your family. Thank God you're going to get to know your nieces and build your own family someday. It's incredible that you have come through this on the other side. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. We're going to put you on a brief hold. All right, 7:58. Eric Scott with your news in 2 minutes. 8:11 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. So, Eric, how about that conversation with Tim Puskas?
Yeah, right?
Ten years in jail. Didn't do it. You hear the emotion, right, in his voice?
It was an investigation that was fraught with problems almost from the very beginning. And, you know, you wonder how common that is. You'd like to think not very.
You know, he said an interesting thing. I said, what was it like being, because, you know, you go to state prison for murder. You're in with some pretty bad dudes.
Yeah.
And He said, you'd be surprised how many innocent people are there. That was his takeaway, which I thought was interesting. I mean, you know, the old the prison conversation is that everybody's innocent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he seemed to feel there were more, and maybe you get jaded with that experience. I can't imagine. I have to say, though, he didn't sound bitter. One thing that concerned me, and I wanted to ask if you knew anything about this, or maybe there's a prosecutor out there that wants to explain why this man was reshackled and taken back to the jail to be processed for release after being exonerated in court.
I think that's just normal practice. You know, there is a process of being released from prison. So, you know, you are still at that point an inmate. You aren't quite free until you go back and get all of your belongings processed. The reason you're shackled is because that's procedure. If you're going on a you know, prison bus or other transport to go back into, you know, to get you in and out of there safely. You know, and I don't think he was treated any differently than anybody else. And so my understanding of the process and in talking to other individuals that have gone through something similar is that you're not really free until they process you out. And that means all your belongings that, you know, they took from you, you know, all that. There's a whole process involved in doing that.
Yeah.
And then once that's done, then you're done and you're out. Now, they're not putting you back in general population.
Right. You're probably sitting in the waiting room.
You're going to be in it or something akin to a waiting room.
You know, the fact that he was told he wasn't going to get out until 1 o'clock and the lawyer had to show up and fight. It, you wonder if some of it was that somebody was pissed that they really, the prosecution has egg on their face. I mean, you blow it that badly. And look, someone's going to pay. I mean, I don't, there's no doubt in my mind that this guy will and should sue to get some financial compensation for losing 10 years of his life. The governor ought to offer it. Well, they should not let it go to court. Offer the guy something. I mean, right?
Well, the prosecutor, you know, is not going to come out and say, you know, we prosecuted an innocent man. They're basically say, we presented our best evidence. You know, the jury, you know, sided with, you know, and generally, if you talk to corrections officers or other law enforcement, you know, they're never going to truly believe that it was a mistake or that they will admit that there is a mistake. And part of it is because of the civil liability.
Right.
You know, you can't have anybody involved in that case saying, yeah, we blew it. We, you know, we got the wrong guy, because that only opens up for an even bigger civil case.
It's a great point. And therein lies part of the problem, which is why I bring it up today. As a pro-law enforcement guy, we need to be vigilant and make sure that we hold law enforcement accountable when you get the wrong guy. And in this case, they got the wrong guy. I think the governor ought to offer him a financial settlement. Keep this guy from having to go back to court. What do you think it's worth? 10 years of Tim Puskas's life behind bars, away from family, isolated, in prison for a crime he did not commit. I don't know. I think we're going to start with $5 million and go from there. What do you think? Should the governor proactively offer something? I think so. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. And have you ever been wrongly accused or done time in prison? Did you agree with what Tim said to me earlier on the show, that a lot of those guys are innocent? I don't know if I buy that. That seems to be just coming from the anger, which I completely understand. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 8:15 is the time. Traffic on by the next
arrow.
8:22 on New Jersey, 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Let's go to James in Cream Ridge. We're talking about wrongful arrest. Has this ever happened to you? What's going on, James?
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
You know, about around 1999 or 2000, I was unaware that I was diabetic. And my wife wasn't home and I wasn't feeling right. And I decided to drive myself to the hospital, and I realized that I was seeing double of everything, and it was not a good idea. So I called 911 and asked them if I could meet them at the local precinct and have a paramedic pick me up. And they said yes. So I walked into the police department, and I just don't want to say what township, but so the bottom line is I sat down, three police officers came, two walked me out in front of me, one behind me. And it was in, like, September, and I was just freezing. I could not get warm. My body chemistry was just all messed up. And so it ends up, we're walking through the parking lot to the paramedic, and the officer behind me says, sir, remove your hands from your pockets. And I said, I'm not taking my hands out of my pockets. I'm freezing my nuts off. That's, I called you for help, mister. And I kept walking. And all of a sudden, I heard a hammer cock in the back.
Wow.
And the two police officers in front of me stopped walking. And I could see them shrugging their hands or shrugging their face like, no, don't do that, right? So townships lie about things. You know what I mean? A few days later, I was in a hospital. I found that I was diabetic. I got a call there.
Wow.
And from a township leading commissioner and said, what would you like to do about this? This gentleman's done this too many times. And I said, give me a few days to think about it.
Did you file charges?
I didn't. I called back a week later, and they said, we don't know what you're talking about.
Wow. Well, I understand the liability issue for them. I also understand it'd be hard to prove that case if you had your hands in your pocket. But, man, what an unsettling moment to have a gun pointed at you. James, thanks for calling. Got to jump. 824. Eric Scott with the news in just a few minutes. A38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. Eric, it's so interesting that you and I both came in this morning, and I was busting out to talk about this this Platkin controversy with the governor. Yeah. But I think most people don't even realize the news is going on until Monday morning. Because my phone is blowing up, people asking me, oh, my God, did you hear about this? And I'm like, we've been talking about it for 2 hours. So the bottom line is that Andy Kim, who is running, congressman in the 3rd District, leaving his congressional seat to run for the United States Senate, right? Because you can't run for both. Is that correct?
Correct.
So he cannot file. So that will be now a vacant congressional seat.
Correct.
And you've got a number of Republicans that are vying for that. And Kim has sued, saying the county line is unconstitutional, and we are the only state in the country that has one. And that is essentially county chairs and county organizations putting their thumb on the scale in the primary. Would you describe it like that?
Yeah. I mean, the big difference, if you have what is called the county line, and that's going to be, you know, the endorsed Republican or Democratic candidate, that is the first name that will appear on the ballot in that column. The advantage you have over the other candidates who are running, Rutgers did a study, and they looked at 45 different races, primaries.
Recent races, or over...
Within the 2000s, yep.
So okay, recent. So last 20 years, yeah.
Yep, they looked at that, and they found the difference was an average of 35 percentage points.
Average.
Average.
So the line candidate getting more than 35%...
More votes than the other candidates. Yeah, I think they found one instance in the last 20 years or so where a candidate that did not have the county line won.
Now, Andy Kim, for his part, has won some lines.
He has won some lines.
So it's not like he's suing as a total outsider. I mean, he's winning. He's also playing a good part of the process.
He is, you know, he's campaigning. He's, you know, he's going to the conventions. He's speaking to, you know, the people that are voting at these county conventions.
Right.
Did it yesterday on St. Patrick's Day. Atlantic County had theirs. So he won Atlantic. He won Monmouth, which is Tammy Murphy's home county. You know, and he's picking up.
Did you see Alex Sedan won the Monmouth County Republican Convention
out of nowhere? Yeah. Yeah.
It shows you that a lot of these county organizations, Monmouth in particular, not as strong as they pretend to be. But at the same time, if they lose the line, what happens?
That's the base of their power, right? So it the typical candidate, if you want to run for office, you need that county line to be able to win a primary, and you need that county support. So how do you do that? You go hat in hand to the county chairman, and you horse trade a little bit in the back room, you get that county line, then you're pretty much guaranteed that you're going to win that county in a primary. This removes that part of the process. Now what you have to do is you have to go into that county and actually campaign with voters.
Yeah. it's funny you say that. Now, the ruling could come as early as today.
It could. There's a hearing scheduled today.
Right, but they haven't ruled yet.
Correct.
And now the Attorney General, Matt Platkin, who I think is arguably one of the least competent AGs that has ever been appointed in state history, Looks like he got mad at the governor and said, absolutely not. He's not going to stand up for the state's position in court to defend the county line. Is that unprecedented for a governor's appointed attorney general to refuse to take the governor's side in a case? I mean, it's a big deal.
Well, it's not even the governor's side. It's the state's side. So this is a state law and a state statute. And when state laws and statutes are challenged in court, it is typically the job and the response of the attorney general and his legal team to defend that statute. The fact that he's coming out and saying, I'm not going to do that because I believe it to be unconstitutional, while that is a huge smack in the face to Murphy and Tammy Murphy, I don't know. And
so who shows up in court then today for the hearing?
Kim's people and probably some representatives from, you know, the
maybe
the
Tammy's chairman. Campaign.
Perhaps. But it won't
but
be
no AG.
It won't be the AG.
That's amazing.
And then, you know, to add on to the top
I love
of that,
the chaos.
You know, the well
I love the chaos.
Think of a time
yeah.
where I've seen a sitting governor publicly rebuke his attorney general.
His own AG. Yeah. So that's what you missed over the weekend, that battle. You know, we it's funny though, Eric, you say about the campaigning. You know, we built our organizations, common sense organizations out, and the first thing we did was went county to county and offered support for local candidates. And we had 104 candidates in the last cycle, won 40% of those races, picked some hard races. And it occurred to me that if these backroom guys had just been doing that for the last 20 years, you would have a vibrant state committee with the Republican Party. But unfortunately, we essentially had to start from scratch because nobody does that. To your point, what do? They show up at the county and they write a check. Here you go, select me. And I said, well, I'm not a candidate for anything today. How about we just go and help school board candidates, mayor candidates, commissioner candidates, and did that. That's what Andy Kim has been doing on the other side, on the Democrat side, basically saying, I'm not, whether I win your endorsement or not, I'm going to be there knocking on doors, going to the functions, meeting the local folks. I mean, I think that's where he's got the edge on Tammy Murphy.
Well, and
she hasn't done that.
That's the pushback that I think Tammy Murphy is getting, is that she strolled into this with a sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
And a little piece of breaking news from our friend David Wildstein. He just tweeted out a moment ago that Jersey City Mayor Stephen Fulop has rescinded his endorsement of Tammy Murphy and will now support Andy Kim in the Democratic primary.
You know what? I just saw that tweet from Fulop. This is a rough Monday morning for the governor his wife.
This has not been a good weekend or a good Monday start for Tammy Murphy. And the reason she was still considered the front runner, even with some of the county conventions that Kim has won, is because she was tapping into Murphy's power base in North Jersey, Bergen, Hudson, Essex, Passaic. And, you know, there's a lot of Democratic votes in those counties. I wonder if, especially with Fulop rescinding his endorsement, if they're starting to see some cracks up there and realizing maybe
she might have to drop out. I smell a bet.
I don't know that I would. I think you and I are going to probably be on the same side of that.
What if we make it interesting, though? We put like an over under on a date.
Oh, on a date?
What do you think of that?
I think it's possible. I mean, I think it's, and I keep going back to what a couple of these pollsters have said. You know, it's not, I mean, Tammy Murphy has much better name recognition than Andy Kim. And, you know, that quote from the pollster very early on with those numbers, they know who Tammy Murphy is. They just don't like her.
They don't like her. I think you're right. It's going to be hard to bet on this, but I think there's a better chance than not that Tammy Murphy's out of the race before the primary
before
election.
The primary.
Yep, that's what I
because
think.
Because she's not, they'll come up with a reason.
Yep.
But they don't want the embarrassment of her losing a primary.
Are you as happy as I am that this could be the end of this short-lived Murphy dynasty? Bad, bad start to the week for the governor and his co-governor wife. I love it. How about you? 1-800-283-101.5. 846. Fast Traffic Instant Weather next. Oh. H 8:51 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you at 10 o'clock this morning. So the Murphys are in deep. It's not good for old Tammy Murphy. Sorry, Tammy. Not having a good morning, are you? She's running for the United States Senate against Andy Kim, congressman in the 3rd District. And look, let's make no mistake. I don't think Andy Kim is a good representative of New Jersey. I think he's a radical leftist. And I'm going to support the Republican nominee over the Democrat in the Senate race because we need a vote for common sense. That said, obviously it will depend on who the Republicans nominate. You know, I will always be consistent and honest with you. You know, I recognize that this audience is the largest in the states, a third Democrat, a third independent, a third Republican. So I will always shoot straight with you. It is about ideas. But it would be hard to not support the Republican over radical Andy Kim. But the interesting thing is, Andy Kim is likely to be a United States senator if he defeats what everyone considers the strongest person in this in the race, the wife of the governor. And, it, you know, this lawsuit that has been filed by Andy Kim, if it eliminates the county lines, we are the only state in the country that does their politics this way, which is why you see less and less turnout. You could actually see a high turnout primary if this lawsuit goes through. I think it's good for the Republic to have greater voter participation. What do you think? And sidebar, are you sick of the Murphys? Because I'm happy that this will be the end. Let's go to Adam in Philly. Morning, Adam. How are you?
How you doing, Bill? Good morning to you.
Morning. What do you want to say?
I just want to give you a shout out for the way you handled that Trump hater the other morning, man. That made my day.
That guy was mad, right?
You called him, said he had Trump derangement syndrome and laid out the facts for him. He didn't know how to handle it. It's a typical liberal.
Yeah, you know, if I'm not mistaken, Adam, I think I actually got him to laugh at the end because I didn't attack him. I just laid it out for him. Why he was wrong.
That's what you got to do to these liberals. You just lay out the facts and they can't handle it.
Are you still finding people, Adam, that in your circle that are defending Biden? I am, because I live in Princeton and it's mostly Democrats. I'm finding fewer and fewer people defending the Murphys and Biden. I'm finding most Democrats are sick and tired of the politics as usual. The Democratic Party in New Jersey is far more radical than the average Democratic voter.
Well, let me ask you, when do you think the last time Philadelphia had a Republican mayor?
God, good question. I don't know.
I'll give you the answer. 1952.
No kidding. No kidding.
Voting same way.
Yeah, and look at Philly now. What part of the city you live in?
I'm in the Northeast.
Yeah. It's a mess. Crime is bad. It's homelessness, right?
When you have YouTube videos trending because of Kensington,
yeah,
and people sit there live stream the heroin problem.
Yeah, sad.
What does that tell you?
It's sad. I grew up, I mean, I'm old enough to remember that when William Penn's hat was the tallest point in the city skyline. And, you know, I grew up in the 70s and 80s and, you know, Philly was the go-to place. I mean, I grew up a Phillies fan, an Eagles fan. You'd go to Veterans Stadium. The craziest stuff going on in Philadelphia was happening in the 700 level of Veterans Stadium because you could walk down the streets. I mean, my dad and I, we would park blocks away. It was safe at night, and you'd walk to the game. And I
don't go across the county line anymore.
Not now. No way. Philly's a mess. It's a shame. Philly has some of the best restaurants in the country, and we just don't go in anymore. It's not worth it. It's not worth the hassle. It's not worth the parking situation, the homelessness, the crime on the street. I mean, it is representing. It reminds me of when my dad lived in Costa Rica, and in Costa Rica, you have very low police presence anywhere. So the streets kind of take care of themselves, and they had something called the stick men. And you'd have to pay the stick man to protect your car from him and his stick. And it was like this it was so nuts. But I kind of feel the same way in Philly now, but it's not even organized. It's just random violence.
Mafia a little bit, don't it?
What's that?
Kind of sounds like the mafia with Louis the leg breaker.
It was, but you know what? But even in San Jose, Costa Rica, it was organized and you didn't feel unsafe. I have felt unsafe walking the streets of Philly. So we're done. We don't go anymore. Look, I hope you can get a new mayor in there and turn that place around, because Philadelphia should be a shining example for the rest of the country. But the far left politicians have wrecked it. All right, Adam, got to jump. Good talking to you. Have a great rest of your day. Do you agree with me? Are there places now you won't go anymore? I avoid New York and Philadelphia. Only go in if I have to. And even then, I am concerned about safety in those cities. What activities have you changed because of the spike in crime? 1-800-283-101.5. 857, Eric Scott with the news. 909 on New Jersey 101.5. I want to thank Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning on the show. All right, guys, so I ran a little long with the falsely accused and a couple of great conversations, so I need to make up some time here. On the other side of traffic and weather, we want to hear from our great sponsors right now, but on the other side of traffic and weather, my question for you is, are you now interested in this whole Kate Middleton nonsense? I can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm slightly curious why there's been nothing out of the royal family. Isn't it kind of weird for a famous person like that to have no contact with the public for now going on a week? What happened? We may start the Kate Middleton bingo as to what you think happened to her. I'll be taking bets after fast traffic instant weather next. 921 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, Jill Myra. Now, I mentioned this whole Kate Middleton thing.
Ugh.
And I know you love it. Producer Kristen loves this. I am not a royal watcher. Like, I just, I don't care. But all of a sudden, now I got my tinfoil hat on, and I'm like, hold on a minute. There's something going on with the royals.
That's the thing. It's not even that even if you don't even care about them or the whole, you know, concept of the royal
family. It's intriguing now.
It's so intriguing because it's a mystery.
So I don't know anything. I know Charles is the king, and he cheated on Diana, right? And then who died in the car crash?
Mm-hmm.
And then he had Camilla. And now Camilla is not the queen. But so that's as much. And then there are
Camilla.
Two guys, two kids, right? William, who's the heir apparent. He's the next in line.
Yeah.
Who's the other one?
Harry.
Oh, Harry. The one that nobody likes, right? He hates. He's like a woke idiot.
Well, he came to America. Actually, we should like him because he's the one that said, forget about all this. And
he's
you
too
know,
woke, though. He's said,
Well,
but all right, but now wait a minute. So now the rumor is that William is cheating on Kate.
Right.
And she's going to blow the whole thing up.
And it gets even crazier. It gets so soap opera because the rumor is that it's with this girl, Rose, who is related to Camilla. So
that's not weird at all.
Then, and Rose is married to a guy way older than her. So she has children with this guy.
But who's the guy that just killed himself?
That's
allegedly.
So first of all, another thing with Rose. They're saying that there's speculation that Rose's child is William's. That would be crazy.
So so William knocks up the mistress.
Yeah, that's the rumor, alleged.
But why has no one heard from Kate? You think like they've got her in a dungeon somewhere? They're like, you're not coming out and saying this publicly.
Who knows?
Do they still do that if you're the king? Can you have a dungeon? Do they have dungeons?
Oh, yeah.
Gotta have dungeons.
But the guy who killed himself or was found dead.
Right.
Apparently killed himself. Yeah, that was an ex-boyfriend of Pippa, which I love when you say Pippa.
I immediately thought of Jaws and Pippin the dog. So who's Pippa?
I always think of Peppa Pig. Well, when Kate
is that
married,
a real name? Like given name? Pippa?
Pippa's hot. Kate, when she got married, remember Pippa was right behind her holding the
Pippa
train
is
the gown?
Kate's sister?
Sister, yeah.
Younger sister.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got so, it. Not married to a royal. Or was married to this dude who was found dead with a gun next to him.
He's an old boyfriend.
Were the Clintons anywhere near this?
No.
Just asking.
Monica Lewinsky got nothing on this.
Nothing.
So now there was a picture of Kate. There's two pictures of Kate. You know the one, the whole
The one was the one with the guy, like the extra hand. Clearly photoshopped.
Yeah, skirts that didn't line up with bodies.
Right. But they admitted they photoshopped that. Somebody did, right?
Kate's. Allegedly, I'm saying that with my bunny quotes.
Yeah.
Kate's put out something on X.
Is that what
saying,
you call them instead of air quotes?
Yeah, the
little bunny quotes?
Little bunny quotes.
Oh, yeah, because you go this way. But I go side to side, then they're air quotes.
Oh.
Huh. Bunny quotes.
So anyway.
This is the most informative segment that I have ever done.
I know. And I've so much.
I've learned about Pippa. I've learned about bunny quotes. I mean, fascinating. So what do we think? Do we think, though, that's it? This is a cheating scandal? Do we think that Kate could be dead and they haven't figured out how to tell us yet?
You know,
what do we think?
What
do you got in the royal bingo?
All right. For one thing is there's going to be an announcement today. They did put that word out over the weekend. I was up till like 1:30 in the morning. Like,
were you like all over TikTok?
Yeah, just kept
Where's the main
stuff.
Source of royal news? Is it TikTok? Is it like BBC? Who's reporting on this stuff?
I mean, right now I've got the Hindustan Times up. I've got a Hindu newspaper up, which I'm reading. But they are going to make an announcement. I think one person thinks that she had, she's very, very skinny.
Yeah.
So maybe she had bulimia. Because that could be a reason why you're not getting visits at the hospital.
Okay.
But
so Charles, nothing to do with the cheating.
Right, but in the meantime, Charles is really bad with his cancer. So could it be that he's not going to...
So after all this nonsense, could this whole thing fall back to Harry?
No, never.
You don't think?
No, because...
Maybe
because
it's just time to end the royals. Has anybody suggested that?
No. And I know you say that your daughter lives over there and... But when you see people line those streets, that can't be just
outside. I will tell you, though, Elizabeth has said this to me. She's like, Dad, I think Americans are far more obsessed with the royals than the Brits are.
Yeah.
Like, they get out of town when there's a whole thing, because it's all the tourists.
You think so? Because that place is
I used to leave. When I lived in Washington, we would leave during any big event, because I'm like, I don't want to get sucked into the tourist crowd.
But there's nothing like the British tabloids, man.
I know.
They're onto that stuff.
So what do we have in our Kate Middleton bingo? We have bulimia, death, and cheating. Is that what we got so far?
Abdominal surgery.
Could be surgery.
We've got cancer.
I got to make up a card because I think there's a bet waiting to happen here.
Yeah, and I think the best thing is get the Taylor Swift people. That's what somebody else suggested. All these people that will, you know, like get you information about Taylor Swift, get them on it. Get the Swifties. The Swifties will find out.
They know.
Her.
They'll find out, right? All right. I'm thinking we're going to do royal bingo. What do you think happened? Do you care? Are you now aggravated at me that I just spent the last 5 minutes talking about the royal family? Your call's coming up, 1-800-283-101.5, 926. Eric's got me the news. 938 on New Jersey, 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you. About 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So, Eric, I got sucked into this conversation about the royals, the whole Kate Middleton thing. Even you were a little going to the Google this weekend.
Yep, I was all over the Google looking at that this weekend.
It's interesting to me because, now, I don't see how there's still a royal family, to be honest. But that said, to have someone as famous that, like a Kate Middleton, who mm-hmm. I think most people could pick out of a lineup, just off the radar for a week. And not like off the radar, like, hey, leave us alone. We're going through some family stuff. But like Photoshop things appearing. They have fueled the speculation. Now, when I put my tinfoil hat on, it doesn't go to the speculation of what's wrong with Kate Middleton. It goes to what are they distracting us from?
Yeah, right. That is always look over here. You know, here's something shiny.
That's what I think. Because it's too stupid. The Photoshop picture was absolutely ridiculous. Nobody in their right mind thought it wasn't Photoshop. Then they admitted it. And we spent 2 days talking about a Photoshop picture.
Well, there was a report in The Sun, which is one of Britain's infamous tabloids.
Yeah.
That they were quoting people saying that they saw her and William out on Saturday at like a little farm shop. But when I went and looked at the article, there are no photos. So, you know, that
Picker didn't happen.
Right? I mean,
of course, in
this era where you have everybody with a phone in their pocket, plus professional paparazzi out there everywhere, if she had actually left the palace grounds and was out shopping,
there'd be a thousand pictures.
There would be a thousand pictures, right?
Yeah, that's what it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you know, the reason that I'm now interested in this is because I love a good conspiracy theory.
Right. And there's something here. Now, I am thinking, given my issues, I want to bet on this. I wanted to bet on the Tammy Murphy thing, but I think you're right. We both agree.
Yeah.
There's too strong a chance that she will drop out before the primary and not be embarrassed. So I can't use that. So I was thinking, like, maybe a box. I'll come up with it tonight. I'll think about it. If they don't announce what's happening today, by tomorrow, it should be like we heard suggestions that she's bulimic, so she's hiding an eating disorder. Then there's this speculation, maybe she's dead. And all of a sudden, there's that. Then there's the speculation that William is cheating on her and she is going to go public with it. And then I suggested that maybe she's chained up in a dungeon. Because, I mean, it's a castle. They got to have a dungeon,
well,
right?
They wouldn't put her in a dungeon. They'd put her in the tower.
Oh, is that where you go?
Tower. Yeah.
You go in the tower.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a long history of
that's
princesses.
Right. You get isolated as a princess in the tower.
Yeah, they go up in the tower.
Couldn't she be
right.
yelling from the tower, though? What do they call those little slits in the stone? The
yeah.
Little,
yeah.
The, what is that called? It has a name.
A murder hole.
Is that what they call it?
I think it's a murder hole.
You stick your bow and arrow outside,
yeah.
you can, yeah.
yeah.
Huh.
I don't know.
Maybe she's in the tower.
But there's the whole royal family thing. It's just hinky. I desperately don't want to care. And I, in the grand scheme of things, I don't, other than I love a good conspiracy.
So, I know.
You know. Now it's a mystery. And and if Sandra is listening on her way to work this morning, we're going to fight about it at home tonight because
she cares.
Because she cares. Yeah.
Yeah. She cares. I have friends that, like, it's a big thing. But my daughter lives in London. And her and Charlie the Butcher, they're like, yeah, we don't care. Americans are far more obsessed than we are.
Right. Well, that was, we've met a couple people from Britain. Because we spent a lot of time in the Dominican, which is
and Brits love the Dominican.
Absolutely. So we've met so many British couples. And the first thing that Sandra wants to talk to them about is the royal family. And they could care less.
Like, it's amazing, right?
We don't really care.
Yeah. No more Haiti vacations, right?
Weesh.
Yeah, that's out. Cannibals? Good God almighty, what's happening in the world?
Fortunately, where we go is on the other end.
What an insane world. All right, let's go to Ron in Edison. So, Ron, you've got cousins in England. Now, are they saying the same thing that my kid is saying?
No, actually, they love the royal family.
They do?
Yes, and it's been tried to, they've tried several times over the years to get rid of the royal family.
Yeah.
Every time it's put to a vote, it fails massively.
Yeah, they I don't know, for some reason, I think it's a comfort zone for the Brits to have a king and a queen. It's weird.
Well, the Brits do love the royal family. It's, you know, not all of them, but probably 70 to 80%. As for what's going on with this photo with Kate, who gives a crap? Is the bottom line. So what? She photoshopped a picture of herself.
You don't think it's weird that she's been out of touch and no one knows where she is for a week? I think that's kind of strange for a famous person.
She had abdominal surgery and she's been recovering from that. What's the big deal?
I love it. I love the passion in your voice, Ron.
Everybody loves to make up crap.
Eric and I both had our tinfoil hats on this morning. You could be potentially annoyed at me for even bringing it up this way.
No, it doesn't bother me. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't see the point. Do I pay attention to the royals? Yes, I do.
Now, why is that? Because you have relatives. You have relatives there. Is that why?
Well, I have relatives in England. If I go back far enough, they're actually like my 42nd distant cousin or some crap like that.
Yeah.
So, but it means nothing.
I think the cover up is always worse. I think that the lesson we learned throughout history is that famous people, important people, they try desperately to have their own tale spun. And by the time they're spinning the truth out there, people have already speculated the worst possible scenario. But all right, Ron, we'll put you down as either I don't care, but you value the fact that they've got royals. I didn't realize that they have put this to a vote. Now I got to dive into this. See, now I'm down a whole royal rabbit hole. Thank you, Ron. Have a great rest of your day. So what do you got in the royal bingo? Is this really as simple as abdominal surgery? You think maybe they're covering something up? I don't know. I think maybe she's in a dungeon. Maybe Eric's right. The tower where they stow the princesses away. Interesting. Do you care? I don't know. I didn't care until it got kind of strange over the weekend that it's been a week. What do you think? 1-800-283-101.5. Should New Jersey care about the royal family? 9:45, fast traffic instant weather next. 9:51 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, New Jersey 101.5 and Pet Center, Old Bridge, NJ are looking for the Garden State's cutest pet. Send a pic of your furry best friend. The grand prize winner gets $500 to Pet Center. Thanks to our sponsor, Pet Center, located in the shops at Old Bridge on Route 9. You got Jersey's cutest pet. Send the pic to our free app or NJ1015.com. Also, I want to thank my friend Mayor Mark Taylor for calling in this morning and talking about the great work that the law enforcement group, our friend Ace Gallagher, Mayor Pannullo, and Mayor Carr did, and Sheriff Gannon in Morris County Friday night. Outstanding event. But he didn't get a chance to thank the 200 Club. So he wanted to make sure that he texted me this. And I want to thank Suzanne Saravolo, who is the president of the 200 Club in Morris County. Thank you for all that you do to support the families of our great first responders. And to all the 200 clubs out there, I've spent a lot of time working with the 200 clubs and supporting the cause and speaking at their events. And thank God there are great organizations out there to stand up for the families of first responders who've paid the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you to all of you. All right, let's wrap today up with Gary in Colts Neck, who wants to weigh in on the royal family. What do you got for me?
Good morning, Bill. Good morning. Hey, listen, I hope you had a wonderful weekend. But listen, I got to tell you, I love how you say I am Bill Fadia. Well, I am voting for you. No matter what, I will vote for you because you make so much sense. But anyway.
Thank you, Gary. It's nice of you to say. I will keep you posted if there's ever going to be an opportunity to vote for me. Thank you, though.
Absolutely. And listen, with the royal family, no disrespect to the royal family, but we have our own problems in our own country. Let's take care of our stuff first. Yeah. And then we can help out these other countries.
We got 99 problems, and Kate Middleton ain't one of them.
Yeah, and you think they care about us?
No.
Come on. So wake up, people.
Gary, thank you for bringing it right back to Jersey. You have a great rest of your day, man. Appreciate you. Couple quick things. One, shame on Attorney General Matt Platkin. Not because he is opposing the governor. We like that. I agree that this block balloting like they do in Salem County is going to be better for voters than the county lines. But forget all of that. While Matt Platkin is playing the personal politics and poking the governor in the eye, maybe because he didn't get something he wanted, I don't know. Crime is up. Home invasions. We had another few home invasions over the weekend in Monmouth County. We are seeing this now in Bergen County, Ocean County. So, hey, Matt, here's an idea. Do your job. Your job is not to be a political weapon. You ought to really resign because you have been the worst attorney general that this state has ever had. And that's saying something because you followed the last guy who at the time was the worst attorney general, Kabir Graywall. Horrible. Anti-cop. Anti-law enforcement. Irresponsible. Incompetent. They had to shuffle Graywall off to a job with Biden because he couldn't get the job done here. And Platkin, you're a disgrace. Crime is up. People are worried that they're going to have these thugs kicking in their doors looking for key fobs. What are you doing about that? Stop playing politics with the lines and the counties. We're not worried about that. The real issues in this state are people don't feel safe in their homes, in their neighborhoods. That's the issue to start addressing. When are we going to have competent leadership? Oh, I know. When we elect a new governor in 2025. Have a great rest of your day, guys. I'll see you tomorrow at 6.
But I've been forgotten, I do. I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, cotton, I do? But I've been forgotten, I do. I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, cotton, I do?